21 lines to the bottom of Yutessa Med Aleph. Okay, basically, this is a new piece of Gemara. But the last thing we're learning is, if you immerse for a lesser tumah, if you immerse in the mikveh for a lesser tumah, it's not valid for a stricter tumah. If you immerse for a stricter tumah, it's valid for a lesser tumah. And the Gemara, the last thing the Gemara was saying is, even if you come up, if you have one foot in the mikveh still, you could change your mind and think of whatever you want it to be, whatever the mikveh is going to be for. So the Gemara asks now a question, Mantana, which is the, like 21 lines from the bottom. Mantana, which is the Tana that holds, Odeo Ragla Achos B'mayim, that if he's still with one foot in the water, he's still considered like he's in the water. Where do we find such a din? Amr Rapidah. So Rapidah said, it's Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda holds, as long as you're one foot in the mikveh, even though your whole body's out of the mikveh, it's like you're still completely submerged in the water. Where do we see Rabbi Yehuda says such a din? The Tanan, because we learned in the Mishnah, mikveh shenimdad, a mikveh that was measured. V'yesh b'yabarim samachuvanis. And it was exactly 40 saw. Now we learned, the minimal amount of a mikveh is 40 saw. Okay, like we said, it's something like, I think, what do you say, 95 gallons. What happens if they measured it, and it's exactly 40 saw? Then what happened? V'yardu shnayim v'tovlu zachezet. And two people went down and immersed one after the next. Meaning that the guy, one guy toiveled, he walked out of the mikveh, and then another guy immersed in the mikveh. So the din is, Harishin Tahar, the first guy is pure, Vesheni Tomei, and the second one's still Tomei. Why? Because when you go out of a mikveh, you take some water with you. And it was exactly 40 saw. I mean, how you get the exact, whatever. There was exactly 40 saw. So now when the first guy goes out, he's tahard because he immersed in a mikveh 40 saw. But now when he goes out, then the second guy is traveling in a mikveh less than 40 saw. So then he's not going to be tahard. He's going to become tamei. Amr Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda says in this, Imhoyu raglev shorish negez b'mayim. What happens when the first guy walked out of the water, his feet were still touching the water. So then the din is Afa Sheni Tor, the second one's also pure. The question is, but he has water on his body that's out of the water. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you have one foot in the water, it's considered as if your whole body is in the water. Why? And this is important to explain now because we're going to have the din soon. There's a din in Hilchos Shabbos and here in this case of Mikveh that's called Gut Achis. Gut Achis means it goes down. It goes down. And therefore, if halachically it goes down, so it's like the whole thing is still in the water. It's like the whole thing is still in the water. For instance, give me an example. We know that if you want to build a wall on Shabbos, let's say you have a backyard. What's wrong? What happens if you have a backyard? And you need to put, it's open, and you want to close it up. So what do? You put two sticks in the ground, and then you put a string on top, and that makes it like a wall. Yeah, the question, what type of wall? When is that a wall? I mean, we have a wall, it's not a wall, it's a piece of string with two sticks. The answer is, the law is, it's called Gut Achis. Gut Achis is like the top of the wall comes down, and it's like you have a whole entire wall. That's the din. What?
We use that for sukkah too. The walls of sukkah.
Well, if it, no, by sukkah it has to be within three tvachim of the ground. By sukkah there's a din, if the gedim of goat can go under it, it nullifies it from a wall. But that's only by sukkah, not by Shabbos. So therefore, you couldn't build a sukkah like that. You couldn't build a wall of a sukkah with string and two poles on three sides and then put tzchach on it to make it, it's not a sukkah. But good achis is, it's considered the object is going down. Now, one second. According to Rabbi Yehuda, because his feet are still in the mikveh, so it's like the whole top is like coming down. So the whole person is like he's in the water. And if he's still in the water, then there's 40 saw even for the second guy. Because what happens if you have a mikveh that's exactly 40 sa, and both people immerse at the same time in the water? So they're both pure, they're both tahar. What happens though when one completely goes out? So he took water with him, so the guy is left without 40 sa. So if you hold, even if the feet are in the mikveh, it's like the whole person's in the mikveh. You like lower the person down into the mikveh. What did you want to ask?
It says you only can get both feet.
Maglov, yeah, both feet.
I'm trying to prove one foot.
Huh?
I'm trying to prove that difference?
There's no difference, 1 foot. If you hold of good asik, good achis, I mean, there's no difference. It's not the same. Now,
good asik is the other way.
Which we're going to see soon in the Gemara. Good asik means the water goes up. Huh?
The walls,
or in this case, the water goes up. It's like the waters will go up. I'll give you an example. Just to understand the concept of good achas and good asik for the laws of Shabbos, yeah? In order to make a private domain, and by understanding these laws, we'll understand the Gemara better, so I'm spending the time on it. The din is, if you have a roof on a building, okay? You have a five-story building, and you have a flat roof, with no walls, okay? You have a flat roof. Halachically, you're allowed to carry on the roof. The question is, you don't have a private domain, because the definition of a private domain is a place with walls around it. You don't have walls. The wall stopped here. This is the top of the building. Here, you don't have any walls. So why are you allowed to carry on this roof? So the answer is, there's a premise in halacha that says, good asik.
That's what you meant before.
Good asik. Good asik. Good asik means the walls keep going up. By sukkah, yes. And I'll explain why it works in the sukkah. So therefore, if you're on the roof and there are walls down, once you have kosher walls, the walls keep going up imaginary until the sky. And therefore you can technically carry over that area. Now, where do you have that din by sukkah? Not good achis, but good asik. If you have a wall, the minimal height of a wall in a sukkah is 10 tefachim. Let's say 40 inches. Now, what happens if you have a 40-inch wall? Okay, let's say you have a 6-foot wall. Make it easier. What happens if you have a 6-foot wall, but the poles that are going to hold up the schach are 8 feet? So now, you're going to have a 2-foot opening between the wall and the schach. So, l'cha'eda, is it a kosher sukkah or not? So the answer is, it is a kosher sukkah. Why? Based on the premise we said of good asik, that the walls keep going up, so as long as the schach is over the wall, that if the wall would go up, it would hit the schach, it's a kosher sukkah. Even though there's a big space between the wall and the schach.
All within 3
this way.
Yeah,
but I'm not talking about that now. But I'm talking this way. That means you can have technically a 40-inch wall, and let's say a sukkah, schach has to be less than 30 feet. Okay? So let's say the schach is 29 feet high, and the wall is 40 inches high. So the schach is like 5 times whatever it is, the height of the wall, it's still a kosher sukkah because of this concept of good asik.
Good asik is what?
The walls go up. Good achis is the walls go down. But by the way, there's no difference in the Gemara, what you asked about 1 foot or 2 feet. If the guy's in the water, the guy's in the water. It doesn't do anything either way.
The 3 tefachim space is
Lavud, yeah. That makes it that it's as if it would be together.
But maybe when he takes 1 foot out, he's already taking some water out.
But doesn't matter. His foot is still connecting him to the water. Okay. Okay, we're not learning sukkah now. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravu. So Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Baravu, Machleikis, this argument that we spoke about before, between the argument between Rabbi and the Chachamim, Rabbi Yudah and the Chachamim, not Rabbi, Rabbi Yudah and the Chachamim, if the guy's feet are in the water, if it's good or not, that Rabbi Yudah says it's good and the Chachamim say it's not good, is only B'mailas Rabbanan, where we're talking about rabbinic immersion in the mikveh. When you're talking about traveling in the mikveh because of rabbinic stringency, so then we say, Rav Yehuda holds that as long as your feet are in the water, it's like you're connected. Avo mitum letahara, but if you're talking about from impurity to purity, min hatayro, divrei hakol, everybody, even Rav Yehuda would agree, hasheni tami, the second one is tami. In other words, Rabbi Bar Bachana says, Rav Nachman says in the name of Rabbi Bar Avu, that this whole leniency of Rav Yehuda, to say that the water, because your foot is in the water, it's connected, the water that's on your body is connected to the water in the mikveh, that's only by rabbinic tumah. By a stricter tumah, which is min hatayra, so then Rav Yehudi would also hold this no good. And the Gemara says, Vahainu, the Rav Pidas. This is exactly what Rav Pidas said, because Rav Pidas said before, what did Rav Pidas say? Rav Pidas said before, that as long as you're in the mikveh, you could change your intent from a stricter tumah to a lesser from a lesser tumah to a stricter tumah. So we learned 2 weeks ago, last week we didn't learn. 2 weeks ago we learned the Gemara, we just started mentioning again before, that once you're in the mikveh and you immerse, and then you leave, so whatever you had in mind before, that's what the immersion is valid for. If it's a lesser tumah, it's not good for a stricter tumah. If it's for a stricter tumah, it's good for a lesser tumah. But Rav Pidas is only speaking by rabbinic things. Rav Pidas is only speaking by rabbinic things. Because biblically, any immersion is good for everything. Even if you didn't even know you were immersed, you fell into the water, min hatayra, it's a good mikveh. We're talking rabbinically, the Chachamim came along and said, when you tevel, you need kavana for the tumah that you're trying to get out of. So Rav Pidas said before, if you tevel for a lesser tumah, it's not good for a stronger tumah. That's rabbinic though. Yet Rav Pidas likens his din, he was the one that said, this is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That Rabbi Yehuda holds, as long as your feet are in the mikveh, you could still change your mind. But that's only by rabbinic laws. But what would be the din by biblical laws? Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree it's no good.
We don't need the kavana nowadays?
No.
Even women, is that biblical?
No. If a woman falls into a mikveh, she's pure.
Even the clothes?
The Rambam writes, unless the clothes are extremely tight, but the water can get underneath the clothes. So technically, in fact, there were times, and the Rebbe was instrumental in this, of trying to make certain places where women would go swim, to make it a passably kosher mikveh. A passably kosher mikveh. Because then it could be that a woman, when she had to go, would be in the mikveh, and that itself would purify her. B'diavad, 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 whatever.
In the ocean?
Oh, well, ocean's the best mikveh possible. Well, it's a little cold.
In the ocean, you go dressed?
No, you're not supposed to go dressed. I'm saying, but the Eved, if it happened, but it's not the way to go. Okay, Ikadamri, other people say the opposite. That Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Rabbi Baravu, it was unclear what Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Baravu. But this opinion says Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Baravu, Machleikis mitum letahara. The opposite. That the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, if your foot's in the mikveh, if it's good or not, is even by a biblical thing. That means even by a biblical tumah, Rabbi Yehuda holds if your feet are in the water, it's good enough. Avo b'mailas d'rabbanon, but by rabbinic immersion, divrei hakol af hasheni, even the Chachamim would hold, as long as your feet are in the water, it's good. Meaning as follows. There's an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. If your feet are in the water, is it like you're in the mikveh or not? Okay? So one opinion in the Gemara says that argument is only by rabbinic purification. By rabbinic purification, one holds it's good even if your feet are in the water, and the other one holds it's no good. But if it would be a biblical immersion, meaning for a biblical tumah, everybody would say it's no good. Even if your foot's in the water, even Rabbi Yehuda would hold it's no good. The other opinion says the opposite. That the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are by biblical tumah. That even by a biblical tumah, Rabbi Yehuda holds if your feet are in the water, it's good. But if it's a rabbinic tumah, even the Chachamim would hold it's good. Because then you're not too strict. So then it would, like the Gemara says, Upligye, the Rabbi Pidas, and then they would argue against Rabbi Pidas, because Rabbi Pidas says it's only good by rabbinic, and this opinion would say it's even good by biblical. Okay, so this is basically one aspect of the Gemara. Now the Gemara says a different thing. Now we're going to go with the concept of the water going up. Gemara says as follows. Amr Ula. Ula said, a question was asked. In fact, he said, I asked the question from Rav Yechanan. According to Rav Yehuda, Ma'alahat from Chotim v'tzineiris, can you immerse needles and spinning forks v'tzereishin shorishin in the head of the person while his feet are in the water? Okay. Needle spinning. The mamish tiny, tiny things. A needle. Yeah? What happens? This is the question. Rabbi Yehuda says, if your foot's in the mikveh, it's like you're still in the water, yeah? So what happens if a guy is standing in the mikveh, only his feet are standing in the mikveh, but he's wet, okay, because he went into the mikveh, he comes out of the mikveh, his hair is wet, but he's really out of the mikveh, but his feet are in the mikveh. But there's enough hair water on his hair, he's not bald, let's say, so there's enough water on his hair that would cover the size of a needle. Huh? And then you put the needle on the guy's head. So it's covered with water. But the question is, you can't take water out of a mikveh and put it on a needle because it has to be connected to the 40 saw. So the question is, would the guy's head be considered, according to Rav Yehuda, connected to the mikveh that the water goes up? Here you need the water going up, not down. So the question is, does he say going up to?
Why do you need tovelim, the needle anyway?
If the needle was tummy.
Oh, if it was tummy.
In the olden times, if you take it in the psukim, even in today's parsha, they table the vessels they got back from Midian. But if a man was Tameh and he was wearing clothing, you have to bring the clothing in the mikveh. When it says in the Torah, wash your garments, it doesn't mean in a washing machine. It means in a mikveh. You have to immerse the garments in a mikveh. In the olden times, people used to table, if they were Tameh, a woman, when neither a man became a carry, whatever, Azov, he became Tameh, so his clothing had to go to the mikveh.
It says so explicitly in this week's parasha, why some say it's only rabbinic?
Because they discussed, it's not for now, but they discussed that this is not speaking about a mikveh to remove it. These were used kelim, whatever it was. But the Taz opinion is rabbinic. And they say the pasuk over here is completely different than. When? Now you mean? Yeah, now you don't have to table your clothing.
The kingdom only metals is the rice.
Metal and glass. Okay. We're not learning now. Okay. By minay, Rabbi Yechanan, Shiloh was asked from Rabbi Yechanan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that if your feet are still in the water, it's considered as if the guy's still in the water. Ma'al lahat from mechotim v'tzineis bereishin shorishin. Can you immerse needles in these tiny spinning forks, mamish with like needle size, on the head of the first guy while his feet are still in the water? So what's the question? The shaila is like this. Good achis is Rabbi Yehuda. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold the principle of going lower, that he holds. Good asik lasi, but the principle of extended going up, he doesn't hold. Ay dilma, good asik nami isli. Maybe he holds it the other way also. So the question is, what's the question? And the Mefarshim explained very logically. It's more logical by mikveh to say down than up. Why? Because water on the person's body goes down. Right? If you're standing in the water and out of the water is going to drip down. So it's logical to say downward motion. But the water doesn't go up. So the question is, Ullah said either, somebody else asked her, he asked from Rabbi Yechanan, what would be the din, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says, if your foot or feet are in the mikveh, the water is going down and it's connected to the mikveh, and therefore somebody else can table in that mikveh, and it's considered that the water on your body is in the water, because the water goes down. Does Rabbi Yehuda say that only by going down, or would Rabbi Yehuda hold the same din as far as the water going up? Because if the pins and needles are on your head, in order for that make it to kosher immersion, the water from, it has to be halachically considered that the water goes up. So the question is, does it go down and up or just down? Amali, so he said to Ula, Rabbi Yechanan basically answered Ula as follows. Tanisul, we learned it. We learned the answer to your question in a braisa. It says as follows. Shloishi gemami is benachal. There is a slope in the valley, and there's three, like, little lakes. Okay, three things of water. Upper one, middle one, bottom one. The higher one and the lower one have only esrim esrim so, contain 20 so of water each. And the middle one has 40 so. So basically you're on a slope with three containers of water, not containers, but natural in the ground.
Bodies of water.
Bodies of water. Three holes. Okay, actually literally means holes. Just three holes of water on a slope. 20, 40, 20. Now, taking each one separately, 20 is not a kosher mikveh, 20 is not a kosher mikveh, the middle one is 40, so that's a kosher mikveh. Okay, so what's the question? The case is, v'chardol is shel gshamim everes b'neihem. And now, a torrent of rainwater is running down the slope, connecting all three mikvahs. Because now there's water coming down the slope, right? And the water is connecting top, middle, and bottom. So now the question is, which one of these mikvahs become kosher now? The middle one is for sure kosher. Right? Now just think based on what we just learned. To make the bottom one kosher, you have to say the water at 40 so is going down. To make the top one kosher, you have to say the water is going up. What's connecting the three?
Water.
So the question is, the middle one for sure is kosher. What's about the bottom one and the top one now? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda said, Meir Ahoya Eimer, he didn't call him Rabbi Meir because he was his buddy, Meir says, Matva Baal Yena, you can immerse things in the higher mikveh. Huh? Yeah, so you, what do you see from here? And Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing on him. What's that? Rabbi Yehuda is agreeing to what Meir says, or Rabbi Meir as we call him, that what? You can even table in the top one.
Now it's a question on how he says
with your feet.
Why not?
Well, he says it goes both ways. What Rabbi Meir is saying over here is even the top one. In other words, the bottom one for sure you could table in. It's interesting, it doesn't say Avbal Yena, but it means you can immerse even in the upper one. Correct. Yeah, but it means is, it's connected, or like you said, Rashi says clearly, the bottom one for sure you could table in. The Chiddush over here is, you can even table in the top one. Now, The Tapua doesn't have 40 sa. The fact that there's something connecting them, which in this case is the rain, the water coming down, it makes the middle mikveh go up, and is considered as if the top hole has 40 sa of water, and it definitely makes the bottom one considered like it has 40 sa.
If the rain stops, there's still water connecting for a while.
Doesn't matter if the rain stopped, as long as there's water coming down, and it's connecting the three holes. So according to Rav Meir, and Rav Yehuda seems to concur with this, that all three holes now have a din of 40 sa.
I apologize, but could you explain again what do we mean by we're talking the water is going up? What's the concept behind this again? I know it's, I'm sorry, it's...
No, it's halachic, it's not real. It's halachic real. Like we said, if you're on the roof, right?
Yeah.
Can you carry on the roof?
On the Shabbos?
Yeah.
You can on the roof on Shabbos?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, do you have any walls?
No.
Why don't you don't have walls? So why can you carry? The definition of private domain is that you have a place with walls. Right? Why would you be allowed to carry on the roof?
Please.
The answer is because halachically the walls keep going up.
Mm-hmm.
It's an imaginary wall, but it's a halachic wall. That the wall goes up, and therefore it's like you have walls 10 feet high, 20 feet high, 30 feet high. It keeps going until the sky.
It has nothing to do with the fact that you're standing on your property.
No, if your property has no walls around it, you can't carry. If you have a backyard without any walls around it, you can't carry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So why can you carry on your private roof without a fence around it?
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah. What's the deal with that if you don't have a parapet around the roof? Why would you need a parapet around the roof?
A what?
A parapet is like
speak
a
English. What?
Fence.
A low wall.
Well, Chinese.
Low fence. A parapet.
You need a mic anyway. You need a fence. You shouldn't fall over the roof. You shouldn't fall over the roof. That's another thing for sakana. But forget the sakana. You're allowed to carry on Shabbos because it's considered as if the wall. We gave the analogy by sukkah, right?
You have a wall down below.
Right. If you have a wall that goes up kosher, okay. And like you said by sukkah, you have the schach here. And the wall's down here, but it's like that wall keeps going up and hits the schach, so it's good.
But how do we apply this to a mikveh?
Because now the question is like this. The middle mikveh has 40 sa. The top one doesn't. So now, can you tevel in the top mikveh? No. Because it's not a proper amount of water. It's only 20 sa, and you need 40 sa. Right? So now the question is, if these things become connected... By rain, by water.
Yeah,
right?
There's a flow of water going
right.
through all three.
So therefore it's connecting it. Do we consider it halachically that the middle one, which has the 40 saw, is going up, and therefore it kosherizes the top one by making it halachically 40 saw, even though it doesn't have it?
Mm-hmm.
Just like this is a wall, even though there isn't a wall, but it's a halachic wall. So therefore, it's called Halacha Meshir Mesinei. There's no logic to this. This is, you know, given to Meshir Mesinei as a concept, Gudasi, Gudachis, whatever.
So we're saying that if, let's say, there's two mikvahs, one on the very top of the mountain, let's say on the top of Mount Everest, and one in the middle and one on the bottom of Mount Everest.
That's what he's talking about. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter how far apart they are. The
if there's
one,
water connecting them,
it's still,
then it's according to what the Gemara is saying here, that Rabbi Yehuda says, my colleague Meir, meaning Rav Meir, says you can tevel on the top one. And Rav Yehuda doesn't seem to argue on him. He's just quoting what Rav Meir says. That means he agrees with him.
What's the thing about connecting? Why is that important?
That's the idea of the wall.
Because in order for the wall to go up, there has to be some type of a connection.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Because just because there's water underneath the ground, you can't tevel on them. You need, where you are, to have a kosher mikveh, and the water needs to connect it. The water rushing down.
That's a new principle, though, from the idea of the sukkah or the wall around the house. We don't really have an idea of connection in those examples.
Yes, there is, because you have the wall already. You have a kosher wall, and the kosher wall just keeps going up. But over here, you need... There needs to be a connection by the water to say that the water itself, we're not talking about walls, we're talking about water itself goes up. Right? Now, a wall can go up, but water goes up is not going to do anything. What connects this water with this water?
I mean, just the idea that it goes up. If they're connected, you don't need the idea of there being an imaginary.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a very simple question. One second. If you have a mikveh, proper mikveh, right? Can you tovel in the air above the mikveh?
No.
Why not? If the water is going up. But if the water is going up, I'm saying, if the water is going up, why isn't it considered that you're tovling in the water?
You're not connected to the water.
Okay, so you need to connect it. So over here, the connection is the water that's running down the slope is actually connecting the three mikvahs. The question is, this mikvah doesn't have enough, right? So by being connected to it, through the water, it's like that mikvah now has 40 sav water.
The water from the middle is going up, sort of.
That's what it is. Not sort of. That's the halach is. The water from the middle is going up and definitely going down. So all three were kosher.
It's not physical.
Right, it's not physical.
But the if you're in a river, right, you're connected to the whole river. You're toiling in one part, but all the water seems to be connected. I mean, this is virtually, it seems like the same thing. There's no imaginary connection. There's an actual connection. You are actually toiling in this continuous body of water.
But you need water to connect it, in this case.
Right, there is water connecting it. But with that, you don't need this imaginary connection. You have a literal connection.
No, because you're not the hole. The water, you're not toiling in the water. You're toiling in a hole. So what's connecting this hole to that hole? You can't table in the water.
Well, the problem is how it becomes 40 saw.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. The problem is, how does the top one, which has 20 saw, which is automatically not a kosher mikveh, how does it become 40 saw?
It's hashoka.
It's not hashoka. Because even if you have hashoka, you need to table in 40 saw. If you have a mikveh, a rainwater, right, 40 saw, and in your tevling water is only 20 sa. Is it good? Even if you have ashok, is it good?
I don't know.
No, because what you have is 20 sa of rainwater. What did ashok do?
Ashok connected it to the
40. What does ashok do? It makes it rainwater. But you have, no, you don't have 60. Ashok is the hole that connects the two, the rainwater with the city water, makes it like all rainwater.
Only it's 40 saw in your toiling.
Correct. So over here, because they're connected with the water, so the three holes become one. So according to the concept of Gurasik, the top one also has 40 saw.
Even if that one on the top still only has 20.
Side by side, you don't say Gurasik or Gurachis.
So it doesn't work?
No, they're up or down, not sideways. It doesn't go sideways.
So even if you're toiling in the water...
So sometimes... when you go to a mikveh, when they're cleaning it, and it, there's like that much amount of water left.
If there's 40 saw, if there's 40 saw left, you can tevel. If there's no 40 saw left, you can't.
No, if it's Pearl Gababair, so
then... no, you can't.
You can't.
You mean based on the Gurasik? You have to know if it's halacha like that.
Below, but the top one that they're cleaning, there's that much left, and you could lie down. Like,
if you can lie down, there's 40 saw.
Because of the bottom one?
No, because it's
40 sub. What do you mean it's 40 sub?
An average person is covered by 40 sub.
What if you're less than average person? You're a midget,
I don't know.
No.
Why are we getting technical here?
You still can't. No, then you need 40 sub.
Does it work the other way around? Like the walls go down as far as one? Like if you have 40
the bottom hole you can also table in. Once let's see what the Gemara says. No, the person himself. If he's a midget.
The question I have is on the top. If there's only let's say 20 saw, how is he able to toivel in 20 saw?
As he said, either it's talking about a utensil, or the guy's a midget.
Oh, in other words, okay, I see. So it's not practical.
Not a midget, he's small, no.
Oh, I see.
Would it make a difference if the middle one was 20 saw? Explain why that.
No, that's just a case. It doesn't matter if it's 10 so it's 15 so it doesn't matter.
No, the middle one.
No, if one of them doesn't have 40, it's for sure no good.
Even you don't add the
20 and the 20. No, you see clearly from the Gemara an interesting concept. If all three would have 20 each, okay, the case is the middle one has 40, right? What happens if it would be 20, 20, 20? And the rainwater and the water is connecting all three. It for sure is no good. Because you don't even have one kosher mikveh. Here the question is, when you have a kosher mikveh, does the kosher mikveh go upward and downward? But by the way, the Gemara is going to refute this whole thing. Because Tanya, so Ullah said, so what did the Gemara's conclusion was? The fact that Rabbi Yehuda quoted Rabbi Meir and didn't argue against him means that he agrees with him. So Ullah said to him, Tanya, Ullah said, it's not true, Rabbi Yechanan. Because Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, we learned in the second Braise, Rabbi Yehuda says clearly as follows. Meir hayoymer matvul ba'al yeinim. According to the second Braise, Rabbi Yehuda says the following. Meir says you can table even in the top one. Vani yeimer, and I say, Rabbi Yehuda says, only in the bottom one, not in the top one. So what do you see from here? Clearly, that we thought Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Meir. And the only answer is not what we learned in the Braise. In the Braise we learned that Rabbi Yehuda argues on Rabbi Meir. That Rabbi Meir says you can table in the top one or the bottom one. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I only hold you can table in the bottom one because you only say down, good achis, you don't say good asik. So Rabbi Yechon said to him, Itanya Tanya, you know what? If it says in the Braise, it says in the Braise. I didn't know this Braise. So what do you see from here? That you can only table in the bottom one, not in the top one. According to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir holds you can table in both. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can only table in the middle one or the bottom one. So now, 1 second. So now the question back to the needles on the head. According to this, the Gemara's question was, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if his foot's in the mikveh, can you table needles in his head?
No.
Because the water goes up. So according to this outcome of the Gemara, you can't. Because the water only goes down, the water doesn't go up. So therefore, they never were immersed in a kosher mikveh. Even though the guy's in the water.
When you say when the water goes down only, I mean if there's 40 say above and 10 say above.
Because water normally flows, so there's more light.
It's raining, you have clouds. Does that work? Or is it too hot?
It doesn't work.
So
you mean to table in the rain? No, you need to connect it to the mikveh.
In a regular mikveh, do you have to have a constant hashofa?
No.
Once finished,
right?
Then you could block up the hole,
right?
But once your mikveh drains out less than 40, it's your finished.
Yeah, you don't have a full kosher mikveh.
Even though it was,
how much rainwater do you say as far as kosher mikveh?
How much 40? 40 so? It's like 95 gallons.
Of water, 5% rain.
No. 95 gallons of rainwater.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was a little mixture of rainwater.
No.
That's a lot of water to save in the rain.
Yeah. And they usually make double ones. They don't make 90, 95. They make double, triple. Takes a lot of rainwater to fill up a mikveh.
The mikveh that we have here on Pico, how many
it's
is that?
It's each. Well, we have in the Pico mikveh, we have side rainwater.
Right.
And underneath rainwater. And each one is double.
Oh, wow.
So there's 80 saw on the side and 80 saw on the bottom. Per mikveh.
Mm-hmm. Are they connected?
Huh?
Are they connected?
What do you mean connected?
Are they connected in any way? It's like
how?
The rainwater goes separate?
No, the rainwater, you have to go to the mikveh, there's a hole in the rainwater, in the wall. That connects it. If you stick your hand in, you'll feel rain. You'll feel cold water, which is rainwater. And underneath, there's rainwater.
So I can turn off the air.
What?
So I can turn it off.
What, the air? Yeah.
How do you answer the fact
that you just lowered
between?
Between the fact that he didn't argue and then.
Oh, no. There are two braises.
Two different
braises. And Rabbi Yechon didn't know of the second b'risa that said Rabbi Yehuda argued. He only knew of one b'risa that seemed to imply that he wasn't arguing.
So in one b'risa he doesn't argue.
Right.
So the fact that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have prior... The fact that he doesn't have prior the principle of going upwards...
Good answer. Right.
Doesn't mean that he doesn't do so for
right.
Other cases like
sukkah. Oh, right. It's only by mikveh. Correct.
And as you say, it makes sense because it's logical that
water goes down. Good asik is a biblical halacha l'meshe b'sina. I mean, it works by everything, for sukkah and everything.
He makes distinction on it for me.
Right. Okay. Next piece of Gemara. The Mishnah said a din, hatayva l'chulen. This is going back to the Mishnah, it says, and we discussed this just now also. If you table for chulin, meaning chulin is non-holy things, it's only good for chulin. But it's not good for ma'aser sheni. It's not good to eat ma'aser sheni, because ma'aser sheni is the tithing that you have to take to Yerushalayim and eat it, that's holier than chulin. So if you table for chulin, it's not good for ma'aser, because ma'aser is a holier type of purity. So the Gemara says, mani masnisin, who is the author of our Mishnah? So it says, Rabbanan, he goes according to the Rabbanan. The Shana Lahu, that they distinguish, they differentiate between Chulin and Ma'aser, between Chulin and Ma'aser. And they say, Chulin is one category, and Ma'aser is another category. Therefore, our Mishnah says, if you tavel for Chulin, it's not good for Ma'aser. So the Gemara says, but if that's a problem, Eima Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it's at the end of our same Mishnah, says, "Big the Am Ha'aretz, the garments of an Am Ha'aretz who is not careful in the laws of purity and impurity, midras leprushim, is midras meaning tuma for the people that are very careful in tuma. Big de perusin, the clothing of the perushim, meaning of the very religious people, is still tamei for the people that eat truma." Now it's interesting. And the first half of the Mishnah, he goes, Chulin, Ma'aser, Truma. At the end of the Mishnah, he goes straight from Chulin to Truma, skipping over Ma'aser. Which implies that Ma'aser has the same category as Chulin. Yet at the beginning of the Mishnah, there's a difference between Chulin and Ma'aser. Because what does it say in the Mishnah? If you table for Chulin, it's not good for Ma'aser. That means Ma'aser is holier than Chulin, and there's a difference. Who holds there's such a difference? The Chachamim. So the Gemara asks, but look at the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah says, if you're Tamei for Chulin, you're Tamei for Truma, and it leaves out Ma'aser. I mean, if you're pure for Chulin, you're still Tamei for Truma, and he leaves out Ma'aser, which means he doesn't differentiate between Ma'aser and Chulin. But the first half of the Mishnah says, there is a differentiation. So the Gemara says, Achin the Rav Meir. That goes according to the Rav Meir, who holds that Chulin and Ma'aser, Badi and Ninu, that they're together. So the Gemara asks, Reisha Rabbanan v'Sefer Rav Meir? Can one half of the Mishnah be Rav Meir, and the first half Rabbanan, and the second half Rav Meir? Meaning as follows. There's an argument between the Chachamim and Rav Meir if Ma'aser is like Chulin, or a different category. So the first half of the Mishnah says it's a different category. The second half of the Mishnah says, no, it's not a different category. That means the first half of the Mishnah goes according to Rav Meir. The second half of the Mishnah goes according to first half goes according to the Rabbanan, and the second half goes according to Rav Meir. So Gemara says, is that what you're telling me? So Gemara says, yes. Reish Rabbanan v'sefer Rav Meir. And this is not an uncommon answer in Gemara. When you have a contradiction within one Mishnah, it's not normal to say it's two different opinions. Because no names are mentioned. And there's one din and another din that seemingly contradict one another. So the Gemara always tries to answer it, even a far-fetched answer, that it should be one opinion speaking both cases. But when you have no choice, the Chacham says, you know what? The first half is one person, and the second half is a second person, even though they're contradicting each other, it doesn't matter, that's the way it works. Because our Mishnah is contradicting itself from the first half to the second half. The first half says, there is a difference between Chulin and Ma'aser, that if you table for Chulin, it's not good for Ma'aser, That means there's a difference between chulin and meiser. And the end of the Mishnah says chulin and meiser, the same thing. So how can you reconcile this difference? So the Gemara says, we have no choice but to say, the beginning is the Chachamim, and the end is Rav Meir. And this, like we said, it's not uncommon in the Gemara to have such an answer.
Oh, what? You could have one Mishnah that has two halachas.
Two contradictory halachas. Right.
And it remains that way?
Yep.
That's not considered a Satan Mishnah.
Right. It can't be considered a Stam Mishnah because the Stam Mishnah contradicts itself.
And the rule that there is Satan Mishnah v'machloret, then would that be this case?
Is this a Braisa
Mishnah? Stam v'achakach machlekes, what you're talking about is when there are different Mishnahs. One Mishnah is Stam, and then later there's a machlekes. Or you have a machlekes, and then a Stam. But here it's in the same Mishnah, it's different.
How did they do this?
I mean, how did they do it?
I mean, how did this happen?
Because when they compiled the Mishnah, that's the way they made it. Like one opinion says this, one opinion says that.
And leave it like that?
And leave it like that.
So what's the halacha?
Whatever the Rishonim, Paskins, based on the Gemaras. You have that many places in the Gemara. You have no choice. Like you said, there's no alternative, so that's it. But the Gemara is not done yet. Rav Acha Barada answers it, because he had another version. And he had a version that they put in the extra Meiser one in both cases. So according to him, it made sense. Because it's all, like he says, Ravacha Barada, Masnala B'Seifa, in the end of the Mishnah, instead of four demarcations, four categories, he puts five, which he sticks Meiser as another category, and then the whole Mishnah goes according to the Rabbanan. The problem is, in the first half of the Mishnah, there are five levels, five categories, in the second half, there's four categories. So that's a contradiction. So the Gemara says, okay, one's Rav Meir, one's a Chachamim. Rav Acha Barada says, no, you guys are making a mistake. Rav Acha Barada says, in the second half of the Mishnah, you left out one. There's also five categories. The first has five, the second has five, and Chul and Amayser attack are different, and that's according to the Chacham's opinion that they're different. And therefore, if you table for Chulin, it's not good for Amayser. If your garment is pure for Chulin, it's Tomei for Amayser. He just sticks in the extra category, which solves the whole issue. So according to him, you don't have two opinions in the same Mishnah. It's all one opinion, the Chacham.
This is Amud Rabban, because if you said Midoraita, you don't need to have...
Correct. This is Amud Rabban. Minatayri, you go to the mikveh, that's it, you're pure for everything. Chacham came along and said, you know, there are different levels of purity and impurity. Some are stricter. Like Chulin stops by Sheini. That's what we're doing. It's important to... I know how much we're going to get there now, but Chulin stops at Sheni, Truma stops at Shlishi, Hegdish stops at Revi, and Paraduma stops at Chamishi. So these are different categories of Tuma. If they're different categories of Tuma, there's a difference between one level and another level. But as far as the Minatoira, Mikveh purifies you from every Tuma. Finished. The Chacham came along and said, you know what, if you went to the mikveh for the lesser level, to show that the next level is stricter, we're going to tell you you're not even pure for the next level. And if you're pure for level 3, you're not going to be pure for level 4. Why? Because the Chacham don't want you to think 3 and 4 are the same. Or 1 and 2 is the same. Or 2 and 3 is the same. So the Chacham came along and said, we want you to understand that there are different levels of Tumah. So therefore, if you're pure for one, you're still Tameh for two. If you're pure for two, you're Tameh for three. And so on.
This is the reason why they made this.
That's why they made it. Because they didn't want that people should equate Chulin, Truma, Maiser, Kedesh, and Paraduma to think it's all the same Tumah. So to show that it's stricter, the Chacham said, even your mikveh is not 100% done. Okay.